Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What Will I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. As the Canada Post strike enters its third week, local nonprofit and charity organizations are seeing an impact on their donations and annual fundraisers. The strike comes at a critical time of the year for many charities. According to surveys conducted by the Association of Fundraising Professionals, many charities receive at least half of their annual donations during the final 3 months of the year, with December being the most important month. According to a poll conducted for Canada Helps in 2023, nearly a quarter of Canadians expect to require charitable services for basic needs such as food, shelter, and health services. As for Kingston's local organizations, many have already experienced or anticipate an impact on their donations. Courtney Murphy with Onguanada Resource Center, an organization dedicated to supporting people with developmental disabilities in Kingston, expressed that they have already seen an impact on their donations.
Onguanada does receive donations via mail, and it has been impacting our organization. As you know, this time of year is when a lot of people tend to give, so it has impacted us. People, for some reason, are still hesitant, we find, to donate online, even though it's a secure transaction. I think it has to do with demographics. The older demographic tends to be a little bit more hesitant about those online donations.
The Kingston Humane Society, normally in the full swing of their annual fundraiser, have been seeing a significant decline in donations. Executive Director Gord Hunter had the following to say on the topic. Have you experienced or do you foresee an impact on donations due to the Canada Post strike?
We have experienced a significant impact to this point, Christina. So normally by now we'd be 2 weeks into our direct mail campaign, and we would see probably in the neighborhood already of about $30,000 in donations. We haven't reached the $20,000 mark yet. So we are significantly behind. And I firmly believe that the large majority of the reason for that is we can't get any mail in. So a lot of our donors, especially the donors who donate larger amounts, like 250, 500, sometimes even 1,000, they donate by check. And when they do that, obviously they mail it in, and we've gotten no mail. So it's had a really substantial impact on our campaign to this point.
Are the holidays normally a large influx for you for donations?
Yeah, so this direct mail campaign, we send out usually the second or third week in November. And we do that because people are more inclined to give at this time of year, but also they're thinking about, you know, we're able to give them a tax receipt, so they're thinking about, you know, end of year and getting their any donations they want to get, getting tax receipts so that they can claim that on their income tax, which is great. It's a win-win for us and for the donors. So normally we get in the neighborhood of $130,000 to $140,000 from this campaign, which is 25% of our general donations for the entire year. So it's our biggest fundraiser by far. It's our most important fundraiser by far. And it's one that I think people really enjoy participating in at this time of year.
CFRC also received a written statement from Salvation Army Kingston, reporting that their numbers are down this year at the start of their annual hamper and toy drive campaigns. They anticipate a significant impact as many of their donors mail in their donations. However, in spite of the challenges introduced by the strike, Kingston organizations and donors have been finding creative ways to carry on with fundraising efforts. Organizations shared how they have adapted by sending additional digital newsletters, making calls, adding drop-off sites, accepting donations over the phone, and making it easier to donate online. Executive Director Gord Hunter explained how the Kingston Humane Society was able to partner with local pet stores to collect donations.
One of the things that really kind of lifted my heart was we had a recent finance committee meeting, and our treasurer said, why don't we see if the local pet stores will accept envelopes for us? Because a lot of our donors, obviously, are animal owners as well, and they're going to get pet food and restock. And maybe they can take their checks in, drop them off if the pet stores are willing to take them, and then we can go pick them up. Sure enough, when I reached out to them the next day after that finance committee meeting, 7 pet stores stepped up right away and said, absolutely, we'll do this. So we pretty much have the geography of Kingston covered in terms of the pet stores that are willing to take in envelopes, sealed envelopes with checks in them as donations for that campaign. So we're really hopeful that that gives people an outlet until the strike is over. To know that our community partners and supporters are so willing to step up and help, it really, like I said, it really made us feel good about our chances of reaching our goal for the campaign.
Dan Irwin, Executive Director with Partners in Mission Food Bank, also stated he is hopeful donors will find ways around the strike.
Kingstonians have always found a way to help us and ensure we're well supported, which we're very grateful for. So I suspect they will be resilient and find some ways to get their money to us again.
Partners in Mission Food Bank is officially making the move to a new, larger space to accommodate for increased demand. Partners in Mission is currently located at 140 Hickson Avenue and has been there since 2003. However, as demand continues to rise in the Kingston community, with the organization helping over 8,000 Kingstonians in 2023, Partners in Mission now finds themselves in need for more space for storage, volunteers, and those seeking services. It has been announced that in 2025, Partners in Mission will be making the move just 25 meters away to 4 Harvey Street. I sat down with Dan Irwin, Executive Director of Partners in Mission Food Bank, to discuss the move. Partners in Mission is officially set to move to a new location. What challenges are you experiencing at your current location that made you decide this is a needed change?
Yeah, well, we're in what's going to be our 4th year in a row with record numbers, and we've just maxed out at what we can do here. Unfortunately, we're so full that our clients are unable to come into the building, so they're waiting outside in all sorts of terrible weather, and that's just not something we're comfortable with. So our new space is going to enable our clients to come inside. It's a shopping model, so they'll be able to choose the food they want, so it's going to be a much better experience for them.
And the new location is just a few meters up the street. How much more space will this provide? What's the jump here?
Yeah, so we're going to double our space. Our total square footage in this building is just around 8,000, and the new building will be 17,500.
Were the funds for this move achieved through fundraising?
Yeah, so we've known that this building had limitations and that we were growing so fast. So we've been trying to put money away. So that's what we've been working towards. We're also fundraising right now to help with the renovations. We're looking for $1 million for our renovations. We're at right around the $350,000 mark. So we're still got a ways to go to help us to get these renovations paid for.
And you will still be at your current location during the busy holiday season. What challenges does that present, and what's the plan for the next few months?
Yeah, so right now you're right. We're at busy season, so it's going to get very full in here. We've got some awesome volunteers, 130 of them, who are doing their best to squeeze in here and there, and we're going to do that. That's kind of what we do here. We play the Jenga game, and we manage to get everything stacked up safely, and we still help the clients that need it. We'll be here until we're expecting a move date sometime in March. We'll firm that up as we get closer. We're just going to tighten it up, and we'll make it do.
How can folks donate if they'd like to support the move?
If they want to help support us, they go to kingstonfoodbank.ca, and there's a donate button, and right there they hit that donate button and make a donation to us. If I can also add, if anyone needs help, they should call us. We're in a busy time, so you need to call us as soon as possible, 613-544-4100, and that's Monday to Friday.
Once again, that was Executive Director Dan Irwin with Partners in Mission Food Bank, sitting down with CFRC to discuss the organization's move to a new and larger space in the spring. Partners in Mission is currently sitting just above the $250,000 mark on their way to fundraising $1 million for renovations. This has been Christina Laurie with CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative.
Hello, Queens. This is Isabella Garrido, your CFRC sports reporter, coming to you with the latest updates from the world of Gales Athletics. Welcome to the CFRC Sports Desk, where we keep you up to speed on all the action. Let's dive into this weekend's highlights as we head into our winter break. We'll start on the ice, where the Queen's Gales women's hockey team closed out the first half of their season with a thrilling 4-2 victory over the York Lions in Toronto. Despite a late arrival due to weather delays, the Gales wasted no time, jumping to an early lead and setting the tone with a dominant first period. Sophie Hudson opened the scoring over just a minute and contributed to two more goals before leaving late in the third with an injury. Final frame saw the Lions push back, but a clutch empty netter by Taya Leonard sealed the win. This team heads into the break with momentum, but are anticipating their return to action on January 10th, hosting York at the Memorial Center. Shifting gears to the hardwood, Queens men's basketball secured a nail-biting 70-69 win against the McMaster Marauders on Saturday. It was a game of streaks, with the Gales building an early lead before McMaster clawed back to even the score by the fourth quarter. In the end, strong performances from Ollie Engine, Luca Silas, and AJ Cumming kept Queens on top. The Gales now sit at 9-1 on the season and second in the OUA East Division. Not to be outdone, the Queens women's basketball team swept their weekend road series, defeating McMaster 60-56. Key contributions came from Brooke Hussey off the bench with 16 points, Michaela McFarlane with 14, and Katrina Renan's double-double of 13 points and 12 rebounds. Gales finished their first half on an 8-game win streak and an 8-2 record, sitting third in the OUA East. On the volleyball court, Queens women's volleyball continued their dominant run, picking up their 7th straight set win of the season over the Toronto Varsity Blues. Mary Stewart and Hannah Ducheneau led the offense with 12 and 9 kills, respectively, while Claire Carter delivered 5 service aces, including a critical one to secure the second set. With an 11-1 record and 9-game win streak, the Gales head into the break ranked first in the OUA. That's your sports recap. This has been Isabella Garrido with your CFRC Sports Desk. Now back to Christina Laurie for your weather report.
Thank you, Isabella. Now it's time for your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight, we're expecting snow squalls and flurries, changing to flurries at times heavy overnight. We're expecting about 5 to 10 centimeters of snow tonight. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, and we have a low of 0 degrees. On Thursday, December 5th, we have mainly cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries in the morning and early in the afternoon. We'll have periods of light snow beginning in the afternoon. Winds will be 30 kilometers per hour, gusting to 50, and we have a high of +1 and a UV index of 1 or low. As for the evening, we're expecting clear skies with a low of -10. On Friday, December 6th, we're expecting increasing cloudiness and a high of -3. Friday night, cloudy skies with a 30% chance of flurries and a low of -3. On Saturday, December 7th, we'll have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries and a high of +1. Saturday night, cloudy skies with a 40% chance of flurries and a low of -5. Finishing off the week, on Sunday, December 8th, we're expecting cloudy skies with a high of 0, and Sunday night, cloudy skies with a low of 0. That wraps up your quick weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report with Jesse Bell.
This is Jesse Bell with your traffic report for the week of December 2nd, 2024. We begin with a quick note from the Ministry of Transportation. Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard westbound off-ramp will be closed from Monday, December 2nd at 8 p.m. to Tuesday, December 3rd at 6 a.m. to complete line painting on the off-ramp. Other road closures. Abbeydon Road, Highway 2 to Middle will be closed to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert is closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Collingwood Street, Earl to Union is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. Hillcrest Avenue, Kings Court to 7th is closed for buried infrastructure replacement. Road will be open to local traffic, however. Kings Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick is closed to accommodate a water main replacement. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert is closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. And University Avenue, Union to Earl is closed for construction related to the Queens JDUC project. Here are some other delays to keep an eye on this week. Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen for a contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd, expect delays while a contractor begins Phase 2 of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road, Prince Charles to Edwin and Princess, expect delays while a contractor completes Phase 2 of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford, expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal updates, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2, Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard at Elmwood. Expect delays while a contractor upgrades the intersection at Sir John A. McDonald Boulevard and Elmwood Street, including replacement of street lighting, new traffic lights, replacement of asphalt on roadways, and a new multi-use pathway south of the intersection towards Bath Road. And that's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for the week of Monday, December 2nd, 2024. This is Jesse Bell from CFRC 101.9 FM, and this is your weekly events calendar. On Monday, December 2nd, The Brass and One-Eyed Jacks will host their weekly trivia game starting at 7 and 7:45 p.m., respectively. On Tuesday, December 3rd, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. Also on Tuesdays from 4 to 5 p.m., there is a newcomer men's group hosted by Immigrant Services Kingston and Area, where newcomer men can meet other newcomers at 837 Princess Street. Daft Brewing is also hosting its Euchre Night starting at 7 p.m. On Wednesday, December 4th, Something in the Water Brewing and Daft Brewing will also host their trivia nights starting at 7 p.m., and One-Eyed Jacks will host its North End Board Games Night for free, also starting at 7 p.m. On Thursday, December 5th and Friday, December 6th, the Kingston Grand Theater will host the State Ballet Theater of Ukraine and The Nutcracker. The performance features a 50-dancer ballet troupe, a brand new set, and over 200 exclusive costumes created especially for this production. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets are available online via the Kingston Grand Theater website. On Thursdays, the Kingston Public Market is open from 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Springer Market Square. And of course, the Grad Club is running its free and hugely popular weekly trivia night every Thursday starting at 8 p.m. On Friday, December 6th, City Hall will be illuminated white and purple for the National Day of Remembrance and Action on Violence Against Women. White and purple ribbons are worn on this day to remember the 14 female engineering students who were murdered at École Polytechnique de Montréal on December 6, 1989, in an act of gender-based violence. It is also a day to reflect on all women whose lives have been harmed or lost to gender-based violence. Saturday, December 7th marks the beginning of Downtown Kingston's free trolley and carriage rides program. Experience the magic of Downtown Kingston in winter. Pickup and drop-off is at Springer Market Square. And finally, on Sunday, December 8th, the Memorial Center Farmers Market will take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., featuring food, artisanal crafts, and music. Have a concert or event you would like to add to our online and on-air concert and events calendar? Reach out today via CFRC.ca, and don't forget to follow CFRC on Instagram at CFRC Music.
Thank you, Jesse. Now for your concerts lineup this week. Tonight, presented by KPP Concerts and Flying V Productions, the Great Lakes Swimmers will be performing at the Broom Factory at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $30. Tonight at 10:30 p.m., you can head to the Buckle to catch Whiskey Smoke, playing some country tunes. This is a free event. Tomorrow, on Thursday, December 5th, presented by KPP Concerts, Texas King and Feral Minx will be performing at the Broom Factory. Show starts at 7:30 p.m. and tickets are $20. Also tomorrow, Trailer Swift Band will be playing at the Buckle from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. free of charge. On Friday, December 6th, at the club at the RCHA, A Celtic Christmas with Turpin's Trail. Tickets are $20 and show starts at 8 p.m. Also on Friday, December 6th, at the Spire, A Miss Emily Christmas, where Miss Emily will be performing new and old holiday tunes. Tickets are $31.59, and the show starts at 7 p.m. Also, every Friday, the Celtic Kitchen Party plays traditional and contemporary Celtic, Irish, and Scottish covers and originals at Tiernanog, starting at 9 p.m. and running until 12 a.m. for free. On Saturday, December 7th, you can catch the Gertrudes, an exciting and unique music collective from Kingston's Skeleton Park neighborhood, performing at the Hotel Wolf Island. This show is entry by donation and starts off at 4 p.m. You can also head to the Spire on Sunday for Holiday Magic. Orchestra Kingston rings in the holidays with the Melodia Choir and Ronan Hendry. Show runs from 2:30 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. and general admission is $25. For seniors and students, it's going to be $20. That wraps up your quick concert roundup for this evening. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.